Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm sitting here and I'm watching the vote totals on Art's photo contest. It is so trivial. You're probably wondering why I care so much. Well, I'll tell you. It's pretty simple. Two reasons. I love Art. I love the people who work with me on this radio show. It's a band of brothers, the likes of which I've never known before outside of my immediate family. And, you know, it's one for all for one. It's important to Art. Therefore, it's as important to me as if it was me doing it myself. And so I want to help him. God knows it's the last night of the contest. We're out here. I can't vote again because I've already voted today. But you can vote once every 24 hours in this thing. So even if you voted for Art earlier in the week, you can vote again right now so long as you haven't voted today. It's kind of like the Democrats do in real life. You just keep voting and voting and voting. You just until the election's over, you can just keep voting for your guy. So you can be a Democrat tonight and vote for Art again. But go do it. We're out here fighting like rampaging wild men, folks. We're still about 40 votes down. I don't know. This woman must be. He must be going up against Hillary Clinton in disguise for her to be able to keep up with the audience of the cesspool, even though I know just a small percentage is participating and we're all guilty of it. But, folks, here's the thing. I'm sounding like a broken record because I want to win something. As God is my witness, Keith Alexander, I have never voted for a winning candidate at the polls. I have voted in every election starting when I was 18 years old. Okay? I'm 33. What year is this? How old am I? It's 13?
2013.
I'll be 33 in June. I'm already getting there, Keith. I can't keep up with it anymore. I'm only 33. I'm 32. Either way, I'm in my early 30s. Let's just leave it at that. I've been voting since I was 18. Since 1998, in every municipal election, presidential election, primary, I never miss. I have never voted for a winner, okay? I want to win something that has to do with the vote total. I fully expect to lose this because I voted for Art. It's the kiss of death. I have a perfect record. I'm 0 for the world in anything that I've ever voted for. But because I voted for Art, I expect him to lose, but I would like to be pleasantly surprised, and folks, we're going to find out in 4 hours. So I want you to pull out all the stops. It means nothing. There's no money involved. It's just to say, by God, I won something. And I want you to help us get there for our friend Art, who spent so many years working behind the scenes, turning this show from a bunch of rabble-rousers in the early days to a pretty professional-sounding broadcaster, as professional as he's going to get us. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, top entry on the blog roll, instructs you on how you can vote for Art. Pass it along to your email list. Pass it along. Post it to your Facebook page. Get out the vote, folks. It all ends tonight at midnight. It's 7 o'clock Central Time right now, a little bit past. I want it. I want it for Art, Keith.
This is truly a pathetic spectacle, James. You're begging with heartfelt pleas to try to win this silly contest. But if it's important to Art, as we said, you know, Art is like some of our black rapper friends who say that if they're in it, they're in it to win it. So Art is in it to win it. We want to win it for Art. Heaven knows why this means anything to Art. But anyway, he wants to win it. So we're asking our audience to come in and join ranks and do something, try to win one for the Gipper, I guess you would say.
You got it.
So let's just do it. You know, I have no idea what this other person knows. She must be a leftist to have this much support. That's all I got to say. Well, James, what have you got on tap next?
I'm trying to get out the vote for Art. It's one track now. Well, I'll tell you, we had a pretty busy first hour, Keith. It was rapid, actually. We covered a lot of ground. We read a couple of, you know, we'll never get a chance. We do have a great audience, and it's the most responsive audience in the world. It's a big audience. We have more than enough in the tank to win this thing for Art. It's just a matter of getting folks out there to do it. But the thing is, we love our audience. It's a big, happy family here in the cesspool. And, you know, I think it, maybe subconsciously I want to mention all of this just to show that this is who we are. We're family guys. We love our friends. We love our neighbors. We're good-hearted people. You know, it certainly runs contrary to the overzealous and just outright falsehoods that the media our peers in the media tried to portray us to be. This is who we are. Happy-go-lucky fellas, and we're just here to support one another and support our extended family, the audience, and our ancestors, our future progeny. But we're talking about the audience, Keith. We read a couple of letters. We can never read all the emails that come in, as you know, but we read a letter from England, a letter from Canada. Great listeners all around the world tonight tuned in. And talked about Obama being cast as Satan in the Bible, or at least an actor that looked like him. The story is out of Brown University in Florida Atlantic. My goodness, did you ever think? Roland Martin being fired, and a couple of other stories in the first hour. Got a busy second hour as well, and I want to let you know again, folks, we're going to, you know how a band might come out and do a couple of hard-hitting rock songs to start thing off, and then they always ease into a ballad. Well, in the third hour, it's going to be our ballad. We're gonna quieten things down a little bit, and we're gonna talk about Easter, because as a Christian, this is a Christian show. Yes, we're pro-white, unabashedly pro-white, and decidedly Christian. That's what we are, and it doesn't contradict one another to be that. And I think everybody should be proud of their cultural heritage. That's all it is, and that includes us. But in the third hour, I just confirmed that my pastor is going to be on with Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and I. We're going to deliver a special Easter message that I want everybody to listen to. And Keith, I know you've got some things forthcoming as well this hour. I don't want to get into the first item yet because we're running out of time this segment, but keep priming the pump and setting the table, and then we're going to dive into the second hour after the words in just a moment.
Well, you said something very interesting in that last vignette, and I want to touch on that. You said that there is nothing inconsistent about being pro-white or being a white person with a sense of racial solidarity and being Christian, but everything in our local newspaper today here in Memphis would beg to differ with that. In fact, that would be the acid test of Christianity. To be a real Christian and be a white person, you have to hate whiteness and hate your ancestors and worship all non-white people throughout the world. Now, we're going to get into the whys and wherefores of that, and we're going to quote scripture and verse from the new Holy Scripture called the Daily Newspaper here in Memphis to support all of that after we have a commercial break here. How much longer have we got, James?
Well, you never know.
Never know around here. We'll find out. But like I said, we've got one so-called Christian pastor after another lining up to show their anti-racist credentials. And, of course, anti-racist, as you said, is just a code word for anti-white. And most of these pastors, the majority of them, are white. Now, if being a proponent for your own race is racist, they need to have a long, long talk with their black brethren in the clergy, because black clergymen find no inconsistency whatsoever with having a strong sense of solidarity with their own race and assuming the title of being a Christian or a super Christian. We'll show you more about this after these words from our sponsor.
And go vote for Art. We'll be back.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Okay, Keith, I'm going to turn it over to you here. I'm going to take this segment off. I got Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio. We've recruited him to the cause. He's always there with us, shoulder to shoulder, and this is no exception. So I'm gonna send him over this link, and we're gonna get one more vote here.
I tell you, we're really pandering for this now. You know, I think it was Sam Francis that said the paleo conservatives were beautiful losers. They ought to run your last segment to be the perfect proof of that.
We expect to lose and we love to lose. Losing is romantic to us. As a Southerner, as a Confederate, we've known nothing but defeat, and I've come to embrace it. You know, yes, I'd like to know what it feels like to win. I've never felt that before, but losing has its own moral attributes.
Obviously so, or at least that's the spin we're trying to put on it here tonight. Talking about losing, Memphis went into a paroxysm today because for the first time in over 10 years, the Ku Klux Klan found something to protest here in Memphis. In 1998, I believe it was, they were protesting the Martin Luther King holiday, and they came to Memphis, and their opponents, the supposed proponents of tolerance and peace, went into paroxysms. They reacted like Pavlov's dog to the ticking of the metronome, started a riot, started breaking windows out in businesses, and the police had to use tear gas on them. And I don't think anything got to quite that level today, although we'll have to check on the news stories tomorrow. I'm sure it will be another great heroic victory for the forces of leftism, as it will undoubtedly be reported by the Commercial Appeal. But what I've come to believe after watching these morality plays unfold in Memphis is that the Klan has now supplanted the civil rights establishment as the masters of manipulation of nonviolent protest. They now learn, just like the NAACP and Martin Luther King had learned at the Highlander Folk School back in the late 50s and early 60s, how to manipulate their opponents. The only difference is the media that reports all this, and quite frankly, if the media doesn't report it, it doesn't exist, is still firmly in the hip pocket of the left. So you're not going to get this report, at least done the way it was done back in the Civil Rights Movement. But what happens now is that the Klan just shows up, grinning like a cat that ate the canary. And they just watch their opponents go berserk, go ballistic. And that's what's happened here in Memphis. But it's wonderful to read all this commentary in the newspaper because it shows the left off for what it truly is. Here is the primary guest commentary. I mean, half of the newspaper, absolutely half of the Saturday newspaper, Saturday, March 30th, 2013, and the commercial appeal in Memphis is devoted to this. You would think that this was, you know, if nuclear war had started in North Korea and South Korea today, it would have taken a back seat to this particular story.
And about a dozen people showed up.
Yeah, and about a dozen people showed up, according to James. Probably, I'd heard 25, okay? That's the number of Klansmen. But the whole newspaper is devoted to reporting this. And the guest commentary is Dismantling Racism by a august personage known as Doug Bailey, who used to be the rector of Calvary Episcopal Church, which is the main Episcopal church in downtown Memphis, from 1979 until, let me see, what's the, 1979 to 2001, okay? So he did his missionary work here, you know, trying to convert the savage heathens of Memphis to the true religion of liberalism. But here's what it says in his article. The Ku Klux Klan arrived in downtown Memphis on a Saturday morning in January of 1998. They were bound for the Shelby County Courthouse across Adams Avenue from Calvary Episcopal Church, where I was serving as rector. The Klan had come to Memphis to exercise its constitutional right to assemble and protest. You can just picture him gritting his teeth, hating that they have any constitutional rights at all, specifically to protest the establishment of a national holiday to commemorate Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., the black preacher, prophet, and charismatic leader of America's nonviolent civil rights movement. The Klan also came to provoke, hate, and divide. Calvary's youth group made a large banner. We hung it over the Adams Avenue entrance to the church, facing the courthouse. The banner consisted of one very large word and prayer, peace. Some clergy of downtown churches invited our colleagues from across the city to join us in a peaceful, nonviolent counter-demonstration to the Klan rally. Unfortunately, peace and nonviolence did not prevail that day. A large crowd had assembled in opposition to the KKK. The areas around the courthouse were barricaded. Police were in riot gear. Helicopters buzzed overhead. Like a scene from another decade, the Klan marched up Adams Avenue to a drumbeat. Okay? And then all hell broke loose. Okay? This is showing you who the violent people are, who the intolerant people are, and it's not the Klan, unfortunately. This is going to be the left. The left is the new establishment. And they are the people that feel threatened by any manifestation of opposition, no matter how small, no matter how puny. James is raising his hand. He wants to answer a question. Here you go, James. Give me a comment.
Thank you, teacher. No, I mean, just to you know, point of information, everything about today was wrong with regards to what happened downtown. The counter-protesters and their overzealousness to have a knee-jerk reaction to be against anything that could possibly be pro-European American, you know, they were wrong. And then these so-called Klansmen, I mean, again, I don't know if they were sincere or if it was a ruse or if these were put-ons or what, but they did a disservice to what they at least pretend to be standing for. And don't get me wrong, folks. You can say you're pro-white or pretend to be pro-white and still be out of bounds. These guys, again, look at how hard we have to work because of our message. We're all Christians. We all pay our taxes. We work. We have wives and children. And even though we are upstanding citizens of the community and productive contributors to society, we get the whole racist Nazi Klansman nonsense thrown at us. Yet we are for the preservation of the Confederate parks, and allegedly that's what these groups of so-called Klansmen was in Memphis today for, the two dozen or so people that were here. Well, they do an absolute disservice. They play into the caricature of the left. again, whether these were real or imagined Klansmen, to come down here, use poor grammar, to dress sloppily, to use crude language, and seek Heil in and all that garbage. I mean, you know, they did more to disservice our cause than all of these anti-white people in Memphis could have done on a good day.
Well, I hate to disagree with you, James, but the anti-white protesters were the ones that were made to look really foolish today. They are the people with the contorted faces, hurling curse words and epithets. This is what happens. See, this is, if you got honest news coverage of this type of episode, you would see it, because this is, you know, all of the violence was on the part of the leftists, these Antifa people, as they call themselves now, anti-fascist people. They're actually the real fascists. They're the totalitarians. They're the people that want to shut up anybody with an opposing viewpoint, be it us, be it anyone, okay? Now, also, what the news coverage here in the newspaper showed is just how completely in the tank the churches of Memphis and other religious organizations are with liberalism. Everybody is a Me Too liberal. Here are the names of some of the people that offered little vignettes in the faith in Memphis. And we'll get into those right after these words from our sponsor.
Stay tuned, folks.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Speaking of deadlines, there's one more thing that's coming to a close tomorrow night, and that is the Political Cesspool's first quarter fundraising drive. Keep in mind, folks, we're using proceeds of this first quarter fundraiser to assist Bill Rowland's wife and children, those that he left behind. So please give generously between now and tomorrow night if you have not given already. Now, if you've contributed to the show so far this year, you've done your job. God bless you. We thank you. We couldn't do it without you. You know how much we appreciate you. But folks, if you have a little left in the tank, we have a couple of great incentives. Again, this offer expires tomorrow at midnight. If you give $100 or more, you get a CD of the best of Bill Rowland's interviews and commentaries on the political cesspool. You give $200 or more between now and tomorrow night, you get the best of Bill CD and an autographed copy of Southern by the Grace of God, written by Michael Andrew Grissom, Bill's favorite author. So give what you can before the end of tomorrow night. It helps keep our show on the air, and much more importantly, in this case, we're going to be using the proceeds to also benefit Bill's family. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and contribute tonight if you're listening and have not yet done so this year. Again, for those of you that have, can't thank you enough. Art, getting back to what we're talking about, I stand by my statements, obviously, that the Klan has done a disservice. It's just a joke is what it is. I mean, you know, the media clamors to them. Look at how much media attention these 12 guys, 25 guys, however many it was that showed up today, from out of town, by the way. They're not even from Memphis. I don't even think there's anybody from Memphis that showed up. The media loves when the Klan comes to town because they want to make anybody that opposes their agenda out to be Klansmen. So when the Klan actually plays the part, they're all too happy, because then the picture is set that anybody that's in favor of the Confederate parks, anybody that is outspokenly pro-white, must be a rube like these guys. And so they play into the hands of the enemy by showing up and conducting themselves as nincompoops. But I will say this too, though. There were 400 law enforcement officials downtown today. It included Memphis police, FBI, sheriff's deputies, federal marshals, any law enforcement agency in the Mid-South region, plus some federal guys were here. 400 guys. And it wasn't to protect the citizens of Memphis from the 24 or so Klansmen that came, so-called Klansmen. It was to protect the so-called Klansmen from the residents of Memphis, the so-called peace and tolerance crowd.
That's right. See, this is, you know, everything, the roles are totally reversed. The danger to peace, order, and justice comes from the left. It doesn't come from the right. You know, we mention all the time that the Southern Poverty Law Center is constantly in casting an ever larger net, trying to discover more and more hate groups. But they can't get past the fact that the only hate group that really emanates, that really rings the chimes of their adherence, is the Klan or the Nazis. So consequently, we have to have Klan and Nazis. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these guys hadn't been paid. You know, I've heard that there are about 3,000 Klansmen in all the United States now, and over half of them are FBI informants. And the other half are probably paid operatives of the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, they if they didn't exist, they'd have to invent them. But here's a sub-headline in this article, Dismantling Racism, that says, as the city girds for KKK rally, will we face up to the disease of hate so we may become free at last? Yeah, let's do that. But the hate is directed at whites. Like we often say, and like other people have said, anti-racist is another word for anti-white. Every group is free to hate white people. Every white person is free to hate themselves and their race. But that's where the hatred is directed. This is not, the left isn't moved by love and tolerance and peace. They are motivated by envy and resentment. And all of these so-called lovers of peace show their true hand when you have something like this happen. Now, the church is just riddled through with leftist haters. In fact, you have this faith panel in Memphis that everybody chimes in with their little vignette of how to deal with this, great juggernaut of 25 Klansmen or so coming into town to defy the prevailing orthodoxy of liberalism. You've got Chris Altrock of the Highland Church of Christ, Bashar Shala of the Memphis Islamic Center, Carla Meisterman, pastor of Balmoral Presbyterian Church, another mainline Protestant denomination. You've got Sonia Ludine Walker, a black woman at First Congregational Church. This is the old Puritan church, First Congo. It's now the transgendered, bisexual, lesbian church and homosexual church in Memphis. Andy Andrews of St. Mary's Episcopal. The Episcopalians are really, coming to the fore here. They've got two out of these. Then Lucimba Gray, the typical, outspoken, violence-prone black pastor, and a guy named Chris Girotta of Calvary Episcopal Church. He apparently is taking over for Doug Bailey, who was the author of this piece. Then, again, we said that there's a guy named Ronald McDonald. I'm not fooling. The clown. He is the head of the Quaker congregation in Memphis, which is so small that it operates out of this fellow's house. His sanctuary, I guarantee you, could not hold 20 people in it. I'm sure that probably 10 would be, stretching it as to the congregants that come every week to his house on 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. But you would think he's the most preeminent Christian scholar in Memphis, according to the Commercial Appeal, or as we call it here, the Communist Appeal, because he's always a featured guest columnist whenever something like this Klan rally comes rolling through town, like a traveling roadshow. Here's his article. City is fertile ground for spiritual rebirth. And I'm going to read part of it and then cut it off, because this guy has shown his skirt, shown what his true colors are, and doesn't even know it. So let me read this to you. It says, I began attending Union Theological Seminary in New York City in 1974, the same year that former bastion of white Protestant theology, parentheses, think Tillich, Niebuhr, Bonhoeffer, close parentheses, accomplished its goal of having a student body that was half male, half female, and a third African American. Suddenly, this white Southern boy was thrust into a school with a racial and gender mix that was brand new. No one, especially me, really knew how to act. 2 years later, the seminary hired Dr. James Forbes, a black Protestant preacher, to teach preaching and worship. Two subjects I recoiled from, for traditional Christianity seemed mostly irrelevant to me in the throes of that cultural shift. Now, I want you to consider this. This is a guy that says he's drawn, called to be a Christian preacher, to be a Christian priest, be an acolyte of the old faith, to tend the flame, and to make sure that Christianity carries on into the next generation. But he is turned off, totally turned off. In fact, more than turned off, he recoils from worship and preaching. What type of preacher doesn't want to worship God and doesn't want to preach the Word of God? Well, obviously, the typical candidate for the priesthood that goes to one of these typical seminaries of today, like Union Theological Seminary in New York. Now, I'm an old-line Episcopalian, and I remember the words of the liturgy in Holy Communion, where it says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon all these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, let's break that down. Worship is the first commandment. God wants to be worshipped. I, God, am a jealous God. Remember that? Well, he wants to be worshipped, and this guy thinks that worship is irrelevant, but he nonetheless disguises and masquerades himself as a Christian preacher, as a priest, as an acolyte, as one of the tenders of the flame of Christianity. But he doesn't want to worship God. In fact, he's turned off by it. And the other thing he's turned off about is preaching. In other words, preaching the word of God, sharing it with the people. What in the world would attract a person like this to the priesthood? What would make him want to be a pastor, want him to be a clergyman? Well, what is motivating him? Well, what's obviously motivating him is an atheistic impulse. If you were an atheist, what would you think the Christian faith was good for? We'll tell you on the other side of this break from our sponsor.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, in the spirit of moving fast, the last segment we have with Keith Alexander tonight, Eddie the Bobbiter Miller is going to be sliding in on Keith's seat as we do an Easter special. We're going to go to a ballot after this one. So, Keith, wrap up your thoughts on the line of thought we were on before the break, and then we'll get one more story in.
Yeah, we'll return to the topic of Ronald McDonald, the clownish Christian pastor, or the, faux Christian pastor who is the supposed spokesman for all that is good and righteous in life. talking about this Klan rally. Well, again, why would somebody that recoils from worshiping God and preaching God's word consider himself an appropriate candidate for the priesthood? Well, the short answer is he obviously doesn't. He didn't want to be a traditional preacher. He didn't want to preach the gospel and to save souls. What he wanted to do was obtain a sinecure. As I've said before, if you look in the newspaper and the want ads, you won't find a lot of openings for social revolutionary. But if you want to be a social revolutionary and get paid to do it, being a Christian preacher in today's version of Christian denominations is a pretty good gig. This is what this guy wanted. If you were an atheist, like most of these people are in their heart of hearts, and you looked at the Christian church, what would you think? Put yourself in their shoes. They'd say, well, you know, what these people believe is a bunch of hogwash. But, you know, look at those impressive, expensive buildings. They have a lot of wealth, a lot of expensive real estate. They can support us. Furthermore, we can come in according to the best methodology of cultural Marxism, do the long march through the institutions, become their leaders, become their pastors by going to places like Union Theological Seminary. And we'll have a sinecure. We can be paid to be social revolutionaries. You know, in every one of these articles I've read by this clown, okay, Ronald McDonald, I don't think I've ever seen Christian scripture quoted, but there's nothing but a constant drumbeat of liberalism. And people wonder why the church is dying in America and elsewhere in the West, and it's because it is populated with apostate priests. It's populated by non-believers who are true adherents and true believers of the religion of liberalism. And this fellow, if you read his article, that comes through loud and clear. I don't hear any traditional Christian message, but I hear nothing but unrelenting liberalism. James wants to comment.
Well, I don't want to comment. I want to set the table for your final topic of discussion for this program. Of course, third hour, Eddie will be in with me to talk about Easter. I'm a fan of old music. Keith, you are too, but you're also a fan of old movies, whereas I like more contemporary films. The Searchers, the John Wayne classic Searchers, has gotten back on your radar. Tell us why.
Well, several weeks ago, we've been bumping this article, but we're going to have to touch on it. They had an article about the Searchers, extolling the virtues of the movie The Searchers, starring John Wayne. Now, John Wayne is the former movie star of the past, that the left loves to lampoon and hate. But even the people who are in charge of Hollywood today, these ultra-leftists that populate the upper environs of the movie industry, profess admiration for the movie The Searchers. Why? Well, as usual, because they can bend it into a moral parable for liberalism and against conservatism. The Searchers is about a family named the Parkers. The Parker family was in a wagon train. This was a historical event. The wagon train was attacked by Indians. The parents were killed, and a 9-year-old daughter named Anna, I believe it was captured by the Indians to become a sex slave. She was the sex slave of this Indian tribe. She wound up being the wife or the squaw of one of these Indians. And about 10 to 12 years later, one of her relatives, who is played by John Wayne, tracks down the Indian tribe, recaptures her. But by this time, she has been totally brainwashed, according to Stockholm Syndrome tradition, and considers herself the wife of this brave. No longer a sex slave, she is now the wife. And John Wayne has to come to terms with the fact that he is an anti-Indian bigot. This is why the left loves this movie. Now, this is the romantic portrayal of interracial sex that you will see portrayed by Hollywood and the commentators about The Searchers. They use this because it's a teaching tool. Now, what is the reality? The reality of these interracial couplings was in another article, which ironically was on the same page of the newspaper, the Sunday newspaper in Memphis, several weeks ago, and that was about a black guy who is a musician, graduate of 2011 from Central High School in Memphis, was being charged with the murder of an Irish girl who he had met while he was on one of his musical gigs in Japan, and he was being tried in the Japanese courts. Now, unfortunately, this is the way that things work out in real life rather than in Hollywood. And this guy, in the meantime, has been found guilty. He's been sentenced to about 17 years at the maximum in a Japanese prison. They expect him to be out in 7. And the girl's parents said they don't think 7 years is near enough for taking their daughter's life, but they're glad that at least he was found guilty. Now, see, we always have to deal with the fables of the left, and we deal with the fables of the left, and that becomes a new reality because they control the media. This is a perfect example. The Searchers, this idyllic portrayal of the experience of being a sex slave, is the way that it is portrayed when the sex slave is white and the sex slave master is non-white. In reality, what happens is more like what happens in this situation in Japan, which involved the same type of dynamic. Now, that's the, you know, that's my bit on the Searchers. Now, what's the other topic you wanted to get to?
I sent in our notes for the broadcast archives earlier tonight, and of course this is live radio, so we don't always, in fact very rarely, stick to a script, but the two things I said we were going to talk about this hour was the Searchers and the Supreme Court case pertaining to homosexual marriage, which is being argued right now.
Well, the Supreme Court on homosexual marriage is just the perfect example of just how bizarre liberalism is when you follow it out to the end of the thread. You know, I was wondering early in the week if there was ever a time in the annals of recorded history in which homosexuals were allowed to marry. And I found out that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. There actually was a time in history when homosexuals were allowed to marry. It was in ancient Rome during the Caesarships of Caligula and Nero. In fact, if you watch the PBS series of programs, I, Claudius, which was about the Roman Emperor Claudius, who was the good guy in a brief interlude along the Nero-Caligula continuum, you'll hear about a character named Gracchus who liked to dress up as a woman and was married. He was a Roman senator. Now, apparently, the left is in such control of the media that something as depraved and, you know, beyond the pale as homosexual marriage is now portrayed as righteous. And the righteousness of not just, you know, the conservatives of America today, but the righteousness of all people throughout the march of history is now being portrayed as the evil, intolerant, bigoted position. This, if there was ever an example of what the Bible warns about good being called evil and evil being called good, we live in it now, and we have a craven Supreme Court that is basically going to bow to the gods of political correctness, and they're going to either do nothing about it, they're going to rationalize doing that, they're going to say that this is a states' rights issue. When did the U.S. Supreme Court develop this new respect for the sovereignty of the states and for the principle of states' rights? It certainly wasn't around in 1954 when the Brown versus Board of Education decision was being handed down. You know, they say that marriage is a state issue. Well, guess what? So was education. That was the quintessential local issue. It was not even a state issue. It was a locality-by-locality issue. But that didn't stop the federal government from jumping in with both feet and using all the full force of federal sovereignty as it developed since the time of Abraham Lincoln to bring localities to heel in the service of liberalism. But as you can see, the principle doesn't work when the principle that is being defended is a conservative principle, James. Just watch as this thing unfolds, and you will be absolutely shocked and dismayed at the contortions that the Supreme Court is going to go through to do the bidding of the left.
Keith, outstanding, my friend. What we had an hour set aside for, those two topics, you crammed into one segment and didn't mince any words. You didn't. You got it all covered, and we still had time to cover all the happenings in Memphis earlier today. An outstanding 2 hours of radio thus far. One still to come. It's going to be the Political Cesspool's special Easter message. If Eddie gets to the studio, he should have been here 15 minutes ago. It's live radio, right? We'll see if he shows up. Stay tuned and find out on the other side. We'll be right back.